Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 True Underdog. Damn, damn, unleash damn, the power within. Damn, damn, damn.
Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast. Underdogs, I have got a show for you today that is going to be amazing. It's going to be off the hook. I've got a lady here that is a business anthropologist. She's a growth and transformation advisor, keynote speaker. She talks about sales, growth, leadership, future of work, customer experience. She is a best-selling author, part of Thinkers 50, Global Customer Growth and Innovation, and she's running Salesforce as well. How are you doing, Tiffany Bova? How are you?
Oh, I'm so thrilled to be here, Jason. I wish we could be in person, but this is great.
Yeah, this works out. I mean, in today's world, we can still get the same things done, looking at video, talking to each other, bringing a lot of energy, letting the listeners and viewers out there kind of see what's going on. So where are you located right now?
So I am joining you from very hot and sunny Southern California today. It's a toaster this week. So it's a little warm.
I didn't think California ever becomes really toaster. It's always 75 is what I'm told most.
Yeah, it's 103. Oh, 103.
Oh, yeah, that is hot. That is. I'm in Michigan, and so I'm enjoying 88. But, I would switch my winters for your summers all day long. Cause it's like,
keep your winters. I'm good. Thanks.
It's like 10 degrees of snow. Well, listen, a lot of the listeners out there and the viewers out there, they're going to be excited to hear your story. And I really want to start with your childhood. You know, you were born and raised in Hawaii, and you refer that as your happy place. Let's talk about what it was like growing up on that beautiful island.
So, I knew no different. My parents got to Hawaii before it was a state. And then I came along and I didn't leave full time until I was almost 30. So it was fantastic as a kid. You'd learn about marine biology, and then you get in the bus and drive to the beach and go to the reef and look at it in real life, right? And you'd learn about waterfalls, go see them. You'd learn about volcanoes, get on a plane, go to the Big Island, see it erupting. It was really, really amazing. The other part of it that was really fantastic was it was a cultural melting pot. It was very much the Pacific Rim, right? All of sort of Asia, Samoa, Tonga, Tahiti, Guam, the Philippines, and so it was this great cultural experience as a kid. And it really actually exposed me, as I started traveling as an adult to sort of cultures and things from around the world. So I really, really enjoyed it. And I still have my house there. I go back all the time. And so sometimes when I get asked the question of where you're dialing in from, I answer Hawaii, but today is Southern Cal.
I've never been to Hawaii. It's on my bucket list. And I know that sounds crazy, but my wife's not a big fan of flights longer than 4 or 5 hours. And I grew up in the East Coast. I grew up in Arizona, but then I lived in the East Coast for, 30 years now. And I can't get her to go that far. I'm working on it. We've been to Cali, but I can't get her. Let's take the next step to go to Hawaii. I got to get out there. I've been to every island, it seems like, in the Caribbean, but I've never been to Hawaii. I want to go so bad just for the history, the culture, the volcanoes, everything, the beauty of it. Is it as beautiful as it seems on TV though? Or is it better?
It is. It's the only place in the United States that actually has had a king and queen. It has a palace, the Iolani Palace. It's got a very rich heritage. The Bishop Trust is wealthier than the Queen's Trust out of England. It has a lot of English and London flair to it because our royalty spent a lot of time actually in London and brought a lot of that back. The very first, electric light switch in Hawaii was in that palace. So we've got a lot of really great culture, pomp and circumstance, very similar actually to what you see in London. So it was really, really fantastic. But ironically, I went to college in Arizona. So I went from Hawaii, right? Tropical ocean. And then I went to Arizona State and I was this is a
desert,
very big beach.
All canyon, no water.
With no water.
Oh.
No water. And I think when I went, so I was in college there, actually at the same time, one of your previous guests, Kara Golden, was there, 84 to 88. I was a Sun Devil, so was she. And they had the place where you could go to surf. It was the wall of water that would push, and everyone's like, oh, we're going to go and we're going to go surfing. I'm like, okay. I show up, I'm standing on the corner of the cement looking at this wall push, water, and people surf on it. I was very confused.
Well, listen, you transitioned to the U.S. after your corporate world. When you did that, what was the transition like leaving Hawaii and transitioning to be in the U.S. in your corporate ventures?
So, you know, when I was in Hawaii, I was doing sort of in my 20s, I was working for, through my teens, actually to my early 20s, I was working for a family friend. They ran the carnivals, literally Ferris wheels and those kinds of things and indoor arcades. Back then, there was not games on your phone. There was not Nintendos. It was sort of, you know, video machines. And so I was running parts of that business from a very young age. So I sort of got indoctrinated into what business was going to be like. And then in my 20s, I was selling and marketing and really having fun and trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And a guy I started dating was into technology, and I was fascinated by what that all meant. And so we sort of started a company together that moved us to California, actually. We got some investors. We just couldn't do it from Hawaii. It just wasn't that practical. So we came to California and we were going back and forth. And then finally, around 30, I stopped going back, you know, as frequently, and then started working in the corporate world because we had sold the company. And I just sort of moved on and started, you know, selling for other tech companies and other systems integrators and value-added resellers. And then sort of landed at Gartner for a decade as a research fellow, advising some of the largest companies in the world on how to go to market, especially in the tech sector. And now I've been at Salesforce as the growth and innovation evangelist for the past 5 years. So it's always been around tech. It's always been sort of sales, marketing, and customer service. And then I sort of learned how to advise companies. And that's really been the journey I've been on over the last 15 years.
That's exciting stuff. And me and you, we did a clubhouse together and you were crushing it on there. You were giving great gems out there to the listeners on Clubhouse on, you know, starting up businesses and how to look at maybe going public and how to market themselves. And you do a great job of marketing yourself. You have a book, Growth IQ, 10 Paths for Growth. Let's dive into that. What is that book about and why should people really use that in order to grow?
Well, you know, the book was... It was a labor of love, but it was also a way for me to encapsulate a lot of the advice I'd been giving over the previous decade. You know, I was working at Gartner, which is the world's largest sort of tech and industry analyst and consulting firm. And I was advising startups, mid-sized companies, and sort of the largest 10 tech companies in the world on how to go to market, work through and with partners more efficiently, the impact of digital marketing on the way in which they engage, all that was happening from a pure growth perspective. But I also had the experience when I was a practitioner. I was super early in the World Wide Web. Back in 99 to 2004, I was working for the largest web hosting company in the US. It was actually four times the size of Rackspace. We were a Loquus beta client. We were Constant Contact's beta client. Like, we were really early. And so I got a lot of experience in running cloud-based organizations and kind of this new delivery model. Put those two things together, I had a lot of experience and I'd also heard a lot from customers. You know, in my Gartner days, it was some 5,000 conversations I'd had over a decade from around the world. And there were these common themes about how can I grow the business, not only in the quarter, but out across year one, two, or three. So it was really a labor of love to say, if I could take all that advice that I'd been giving, how do I put it into a book? And I uncovered that it was 10 paths to growth. Now, if you read the book or if you've read the book, there was nothing groundbreaking in there, meaning I didn't reinvent the wheel. What I did was I modernized a lot of the growth strategies that had been out in the market for sometimes 100 years, using now all the technology we have at our disposal, right? Whether it's machine learning, AI, CRM, whether it's AR, VR, whatever technology, you needed to modernize that, you know, when someone was going to manufacture something in the 60s or 70s, they would stand up a manufacturing plant. In, you know, 2016, when someone wants to launch, you know, and manufacture lipstick, they have 12 employees, they get to $500 million, the Kylie Jenner story, that's a very different approach. And so that's because now we have the ability to outsource a lot of those functions. And so that changes the way, you know, startups can think about building a brand or direct to consumer with a Warby Parker or you know, Casper, other brands like that. So it was really an opportunity for me to share a lot of the advice I had been giving over the years.
I think a lot of people hopefully picked up the book during COVID too, people working from home and making that transition from an everyday type of job or, you know, grinding and things maybe that they didn't really want to do, but felt like they have to do. We've seen, and I've heard lots of great stories of people transitioning and taking that leap of faith to actually start a business, whether it be online or from their home and start building up. That's exciting stuff. Let's talk about the experience equation. Happy employees equals happy customers, right? You said something that really resonated with me. The fastest way to get customers to love your brand is to get your employees to love their job. Explain that to me.
Well, interestingly enough, right, in Growth IQ, there was 10 paths to growth. And the very first path was customer experience. So I had been very focused on customer experience for about a decade. I was part of the team at Gartner that made the prediction that the chief marketing officer would spend more than the chief information officer on technology, which then sent off a flurry of acquisitions from Salesforce to Oracle, SAP, Microsoft, right, trying to get a hold of those dollars being spent. So, you know, we believed at the time that customer experience was going to be the next battleground. So it was something I had been talking about for a really long time. Then when I joined Salesforce, I started saying on stage that I didn't think it was a coincidence that Salesforce was one of the best places to work globally. You know, it's in probably 17 countries, it's number one. The rest of the world is probably in the top three or top five. We're one of the most innovative companies in the world, according to other people's lists. And we were the fastest growing enterprise software company. So I felt there was some correlation or causation between those things. Really happy employees drives this greater innovation because they're more engaged. We're the fastest growing enterprise software company, which means we have strong customer experience and relationships with our customers. Let's go prove it out. So I went to our chief marketing officer at the time and said, hey, I've got this hypothesis. What do you think about proving it out? So she said, hey, here's a little budget. Let's go prove it out. So we did a project with Forbes Insight. And lo and behold, we found that companies that were highly focused on employee experience and customer experience drove a 1.8x growth rate. So for a billion-dollar brand, it's a $40 million impact. Now, I've seen a lot of research out about the power of the employee, right? It's all about people. Take care of your people. They'll take care of your customers. They take care of your customers. You know, you grow. But we hadn't seen one taken all the way to actually tracking that growth rate. And so what we found in the research, interestingly enough, is so many people were focused on customer experience, right? Everyone said, we're a customer-driven company. We're a customer-led company, a customer-centric company. Like, that's what's important to us. Or they'd say, we're absolutely very employee-focused. We're employee-centric, right? It's all about our employees. But rarely do you see companies actually focus on both. And you can only have one priority, but that doesn't mean you don't have your chief human resource officer connected with your chief marketing officer to connect the employee and customer experience, pulling in IT, right, and your leadership team to really fold it all together. And that's what we really started to double down on. So we're in the middle of another research project at the moment. That the one I just mentioned to you was North America-based, US-based, I should say, sorry. And we're now going global. And so we're hoping that that will be starting to trickle out around our Dreamforce time, which is September this year.
I'm Jason Waller with the True Underdog Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Green Chef. That's right, Green Chef. They let you choose from a wide array of easy-to-follow recipes perfect for keto, paleo, and plant-powered diets. Or if you just want to be like me and eat in a more balanced way. Everything is hand-picked, featuring organic veggies and high-quality proteins, delivered to your door pre-measured and mostly prepped in insulated packaging. Now, if you go to greenchef.com/trueunderdog100 and you use the code TRUEUNDERDOG100, you're going to get $100 off everything, including free shipping. That's right, $100 off. Please make sure you use that code. Now, I have a few favorites there. You're not going to believe me when I tell you, but listen, the red pepper pork tenderloins are the best tenderloins I've ever had. And then you have the beefy fajita soup. Both were amazing. They were two of my favorites. That's right, two of the True Underdog's favorites. You need to make sure that you're checking them out. Now do me a favor, go to greenchef.com/trueunderdog100. That's greenchef.com/trueunderdog100 and use the code trueunderdog100 and get $100 off. That's right, $100 off plus free shipping. And make sure that you enjoy your meal. Bam. Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think culture, I think getting the employees to see a career path, being excited, rowing for the same thing. You know, you got to find a way to get them to be excited. And then that does resurrect right to the customer. They see it on their face, the experience. You know, I always think of, you know, when you go to Disney and, you know, how everything's magical. And if you get the VIP tour, everything's this and that. And so we created this concierge department where we sign up a customer. This person holds their hand all the way through and is reminding them, here's where you're at, and trying to make that experience great for them. And on the other token there, we give out lots of awards and we have lots of motivational meetings and lots of growth, lots of you know, people getting promoted in our business. And I think all of that, we share it. We have a newsletter that goes out. You know, we have a talking forum. We have two, you know, different meetings for different areas where the executives come and talk and answer questions to the employees. I think you're exactly right. I think that is the way people need to focus. This is just going to remind me to remind our team, hey, we've got to focus on the employees and the customer. So this is exciting. Post-COVID advice, right? What would you tell people out there about, you know, trying to grow a business post-COVID, you know, with the way things are now and what you're seeing in the future? What would you say that they have to do for the listeners and viewers out there?
So a couple of things, you know, going into COVID, you know, kind of the first 90 days, let's go back kind of March timeframe, February, March, April, May of 2020, we saw a lot of businesses get caught flat-footed in the lack of digital investments they'd made in the previous 5 or 10 years, let's say. So all of a sudden, boom, you have to have your call center from anywhere, right? Not in four walls. Well, in a call center, it's normally a desktop. So how do you get a 300, 400, 500 person, 20, 30, 40 person, 3, 5, 10 person call center to move to their home and continue to serve your customers? Or somebody like a restaurant who didn't have their menu online or didn't have a connection to, you know, Uber Eats or Grubhub, right? They were saying, no, you know, 99% of our business is in these four walls. We don't do much delivery or takeout. And all of a sudden, everything changed. And so we saw quite a bit of investment. Lots of companies have said, you know, they've done more digital investment in the last year than they had in probably the previous decade. That's all goodness. So now coming out of this on the other side, you know, as I mentioned, I'm in Southern California. We just kind of opened back up yesterday from the kind of shelter in place order. And a lot of the restrictions, if not all of them, are gone pretty much except for certain situations. And so now it's been 14 or 15 months. We're at a crossroads. Leaders are either going to go back to the status quo and say, oof, you know, that was a tough year and a half. Let's just start to go back to our old habits. Or they're going to say, let's reimagine what's possible. All the things we've learned over the last 12, 15 months, how do we double down on what worked? Because now consumers' behaviors are significantly different. We've seen some research that's in the low 90% range. People are going to want to continue to do contactless payment. That might have not been something that was pre-pandemic. We see an appointment economy now picking up. So people making appointments with retailers or people that are giving them service that they normally never would have done. You know, like someone's going to come to your house and give you a bid on something or install something. It's like, okay, we'll be there between, you know, 8 and 5. You know, that's not very great service. But now you might say, if I'm going to go to try on some sunglasses, I'm actually going to make an appointment for that, where normally you would never do that. But then it allows that retailer to give much better one-on-one service. You know, people feel safe in the retail environment. They can clean it afterwards, whatever it might be. So we see some of these habits changing. So if you're listening, right, and you've made some changes over the last year and a half, don't just automatically snap back to what you used to do. Make sure that you are paying attention to the signals that the market is sending you, whether it's online, offline, with your employees. You know, I like working from home. I don't want to go back to the office. Like, how are you going to handle flex work? You know, how are you going to handle how your customers want to engage with you and how you're going to service and support them? And the supply chain has been significantly disrupted, right? Prices are up because things are hard to get. And so ultimately, this is a chance for you to really make sure that you get rid of things that are no longer profitable, double down where you've seen a lot of growth, stay connected to your employees and customers, but don't go back to old habits. I mean, that's sort of the one big thing I would say out of the last year and a half that I hope people don't do.
And for the listeners and viewers out there, this is for small business, big business, medium business, people that work somewhere.
Doesn't matter.
You know, yeah, it doesn't matter. You need to implement this and understand, you know, the differences that the world that we live in now and how you can be more efficient and the company can grow. So Tiffany, what you also have done a lot of speaking engagements. Let's talk about what is the most thing you're proud of in your life that you've accomplished on the business aspect?
From a speaking perspective?
Yeah, from a speaking perspective.
Yeah, so there's sort of two things. Like you, Jason, you know, I get the opportunity to speak quite often. In 2019, I flew 275,000 miles, gave 100 keynotes in 6 continents. 2020, you know, I gave almost twice as many keynotes and not on an airplane. Right? So it has been a really consistent part of what I've done over the last 15 years. But there's been an opportunity where I got a chance to speak at the United Nations, at the UN in New York City for Women and Girls 2030. with a company called, with an organization called IdeaGen, and really bringing up the next generation of girls, especially around STEM. And to walk the halls of the UN and know that I was going to speak there. And while we weren't in the main hall, it didn't matter. Like, you know, the fact that I got to walk through those, you know, hallowed halls and, you know, feel a part of something that has shaped so much of what goes on in the world, that was really spectacular. And then I got to do it again and again. So it was a couple of times, but that first time, and I feel the same way every time I walk through those halls. And it was a very small group, and most of them were under the age of 14. It didn't matter. It was absolutely just so special for me. And then the second would be the opportunity to be part of the Thinkers 50 list. It's kind of the Oscars of management thinkers. It was a bucket list item for me, similar to Jason, to you going to Hawaii. Mine was making the Thinkers 50 list. And it was an amazing opportunity for me to even be considered and considered against people in categories like Clayton Christensen, you know, or Amy Edmondson or Roger Martin or Seth Godin. And it was incredible to make the list. And while it is the Thinkers 50 and I came in at number 50, that's the first time I think in my entire career I was fine being last on that list, because I'm much better than being number 51. So that those are probably the two that I can say. You know, I love speaking everywhere. I've gotten to travel around the world. I've spoken in South Africa. I've spoken in Ireland. I've spoken in Iceland. I've spoken in Hong Kong and Singapore. I've spoken in Bali. I mean, I've done a lot of amazing things and gotten a lot of travel. But the UN to, you know, 12, 13 and 14 year old girls was really special.
That's so awesome. So cool. I've got three daughters. So I get jacked up when, you know, we can empower women to really take the next step and be, you know, future leaders of tomorrow. I mean, I think that's, it's really crucial in our growth as a country and in, you know, in this world. So last thing, where's the best place you've ever visited? You've been so many places. I'm intrigued. Where's the best place you've ever been?
Yeah.
You gotta pick one.
No, that's always tough, because I hands down would always say Hawaii, right? Because it's so hard.
Outside of Hawaii, because that's
where outside of Hawaii. That's tough, right? Because if you go, people are like, oh, you've been to Bali, isn't it? And I'm like, I'm from Hawaii. Like, you know, and oh, you know, you've been to Sydney. I'm from Hawaii, right? It gets tough. But when you think about something that's just so out of what I was born and raised around, I would say Iceland was really spectacular. Not what I expected at all.
What was that like?
Reykjavik was amazing. Like, food was great. It felt like a small Dutch town. We hiked into a glacier. We went up to the volcano fields. We drove around, went to the beaches, saw the puffins. Like, it was not what I expected. It was 5 days. I was speaking with, at the time, the president of Iceland at a entrepreneurs event. And it was really, really special. So I loved that. I loved Cape Town because I got to, you know, go on a safari, which of course, way out of something I would normally do. And, you know, those probably two have just been highlights for sure. I hope I get to go back to both of those.
That's so cool. I definitely want to check out Iceland. Well, there you have it, Underdogs. Another breathtaking episode with yours truly. Top influencer, customer experience, digital transformation, business model innovation, the future work right here, giving you insights to the future of sales and growth. Tiffany Bova, how can people find you and follow you and pay attention to what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm super active on social. So follow me on LinkedIn, Tiffany Bova. At Twitter, it's Tiffany_Bova. And then I'm on Instagram, I have a YouTube channel, and then there's TiffanyBova.com. But, you know, check out the book, Growth IQ. It's now translated in 9 languages. So it's in Portuguese and Spanish, Korean, Thai, Vietnamese, Polish. What did I miss? Obviously English. And so, you know, it's Audible as well and Kindle as well. So hopefully you can pick up a copy.
Did you do your own Audible?
I did. It was 5 days. It was almost 36 hours of recording for a little more than 7 hours of the book. So I can officially say I've read the book cover to cover, word for word.
Yeah, I have to do mine. My book's coming out soon. And I'm like, oh, I wonder how long that's going to take me. But I feel like it's important to do your own. They hear your voice with what you wrote.
Well,
you
know,
I think that's so crucial.
I had to try out.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard that before. I told them, I'm not trying out. This is my book. So I laid the law early, but I've never heard. I mean, I've heard that from multiple people. Heather had the same thing. They told her she had to try out.
Yeah. I mean, I went with Random House Portfolio. So, you know, it was a large publisher, and it wasn't really like you have to try out, but it's not guaranteed you're going to read the book. And, you know, you read your own book. But thankfully, right, I keynote for a living, so I do know how to actually speak and read in a way that might be engaging for people who are listening. But I will tell you, the first day I lost my voice. So my producer sat me down and said, this is not a keynote. Like, that is not how you read a book. And so gave me a lot of coaching. So on the second day, it was much better. Called my publisher and said, I need to re-record the first day. So we re-recorded the first day. So it was definitely different than what I expected. But, you know, it was a great experience. I'm glad I got to read it. But it's not what I expected. I'll leave it at that. If you get a chance, Jason, to read your book, you'll completely get what I'm talking about. It is a very surreal engagement with your book.
Yeah, I'm excited. This will be exciting. Well, listen, Tiffany, thank you for joining the show. And we will have all of your links on here. We appreciate you giving insight out here to all the underdogs out there, all the listeners, all the viewers, all the female entrepreneurs out there wanting to take it to the next level. I'm going to want a signed book from you. So I'll have to get with you offline and get a signed book from you. And then maybe talk about you doing a speaking engagement with our company for our holiday party or something. I think you can get them pretty jacked up.
Absolutely. Anytime. Anytime I can get in front of entrepreneurs, salespeople, I'm in. Count me in.
Thank you so much. There you have it. Bam!
And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby. Bam!
True Underdog. Damn. Damn. Damn.